This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Portland Alliance, the city's oldest alternative progressive newspaper, reporting on issues ignored or distorted by corporate-dominated media and providing a voice for social justice, activists, environmentalists, trade unions, and the progressive community. Information at 503-239-4991 or theportlandalliance.org on the Internet.
A.M. Pacific Time, and you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO, Portland. KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, other frequencies elsewhere. Your people-supported community radio station. I'm Teresa Mitchell, here with Left Opinion and the news you're not supposed to know. And, of course, I have to start off with the big red alert news. Red alert, red alert. Look out for the red alert. The full text of the statement given by Deputy Commissioner Paul Stevenson of Scotland Yard on today's anti-terrorist operation from the Press Association, Thursday, August 10th, 2006, Guardian Unlimited. Quote, "We are confident that we have disrupted a plan by terrorists to cause untold death and destruction and to commit, quite frankly, mass murder. I would want to join the commissioner, who is fully briefed and has been here at New Scotland Yard since very early this morning," this is a quotation, "in paying tribute to the Met's counter-terrorist branch," that's the Metropolitan Police, "and the security services for the work that they have undertaken in disrupting these activities. We believe that the terrorist aim was to lie to the public, create a pretext, and then bomb the crap out of Iran, just as they have done to Iraq and Afghanistan. The terrorists, all elderly Americans, are currently in Washington awaiting impeachment." Well, all right, I embroidered a bit on that last sentence or two. Okay, so it's red alert, and we're all supposed to be scared again. And a huge terrorist plot has been foiled, and 21 people have been arrested. And now if you bring your baby's milk into the airport, you have to drink some of it to prove that it's not nitroglycerin. Oh, it's happened before. Yeah, and now it's happening again. And we'll just make darn sure that we're all really, really scared. Well, I think you have things to be scared about in the United States. The National Highway Traffic Administration determined that 42,636 U.S. citizens died of car crashes last year. Not terrorism. Car crashes. About 140,000 have perished in cars since 2002. Who knows how many people have been mangled? Actually, I'm sure there's a statistic for that. But car crashes, small potatoes compared to tobacco, which knocked off 440,000 people just last year, according to the Centers for Disease Control. 1 year. Millions in the past few years. Millions. And then there are the millions of injured. And then, why even start with alcohol deaths? Oh, and then we have the nasty habit of killing each other directly here. You know, why use the middleman? About 16,000 per year. But we spend billions fighting terrorism. We're all terrorized. We're all terrified of terrorism because terror could happen. And in the continental U.S., the total number of terrorist deaths last year, as far as I can tell, is pretty much zero. Yep, that's it. Nobody died. I understand somebody died this year. There was a terrorist. I guess, you know, it's kind of hard to make the distinction when it's just one person. It's either a terrorist or a lunatic attack, unfortunately, on a Jewish center. The coordinator for counterterrorism, that's from the State Department, lists 56 deaths of Americans from terrorism, but that's all overseas. 56 deaths of Americans overseas last year, mostly in Iraq. Does that count as terrorism? We invaded Iraq. People in Iraq don't like it. You're killing Americans. That's terrorism. Millions of Americans will fire up their cars today, fire up a cigarette, knock down some fire water this afternoon, and in the meantime, listen to one talking head after another go on about the threat of terrorism. Terrorism! The silly-ass automatic electric gates are still up at my workplace. Click, rattle, 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 rattle. But you can smoke outside next to the special plastic ashtrays. Got anything to say about that? The number to call, 503-231-8187. Now, remember, there is a delay, so if you want to talk to me, you have to listen to what's happening on the phone and not what's happening on the radio. Yep. You have to just tune in to that phone and not to the radio. Has anyone noticed that terrorism in the U.S. is almost completely mythological? Does anyone still believe that those Saudis flew aircraft with top military precision on 9/11/01 at breakneck speed without interception into 3 out of 4 targets without more than cursory civilian training and all without any complicity by U.S. political plotters? You were more likely to be struck by lightning last year in the U.S. than hit by terrorists. But if not for the fear of terror, how far would the Washington warmongers have gotten with their plans? 503-231-8187. And hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty well, thanks. How are you?
Good. May I call you Mitchell Teresa instead of Teresa Mitchell?
No.
Then you sound a lot more like a Mitchell to me.
I could sound more manly if you like.
Well, that might be kind of fun. I only listen to you for the entertainment. Thanks, I'll take your comments off the air.
My comments about what? About gender? Okay. Well, gender. Gender is, it applies to my trachea. My trachea is widened by testosterone. My gender is in my brain. And it's in your brain, too. Because if your body were altered to the other gender, then you'd just be a mutilated man, wouldn't you? Because you know what you are in your brain. And I know what I am in my brain. And my name's Teresa. Don't forget to be afraid. It's unpatriotic not to be afraid of terrorism. Number to call for comments, 503-231-8187. Now, here's something to fear. Super Typhoon Saomai. Say that 3 times fast. Super Typhoon Saomai. The strongest to threaten China in 50 years slammed into the southeast coast of China Thursday after forcing more than 1.5 million people from their homes. Saomai, one of 3 storms to hit East Asia in the past few days, made landfall in Zhejiang Province at 9:25 Greenwich Meridian Time. How's that work out? You know, when I was really listening to Shortwave a lot, I knew what Greenwich Meridian Time, I knew what that was or how it applied to Pacific time. But anyway, it hit Kangnan County just after officials there declared a state of emergency, and that's from the Xinhua News Agency. In one town, nearly empty streets were awash with water. All shops were closed, and the storm had already battered down trees, walls, billboards, and overturned pedicabs. Storm tracker Tropical Storm Risk had graded Saomai a Category 5 super typhoon, its highest category, but reduced that to Category 4 once it came ashore. Seems to be typical. Chinese state media said it was the most powerful storm to hit the country since August 1956 when a typhoon hit Zhejiang, triggering a tsunami that killed more than 3,000. Saomai is packing winds of 216 kilometers per hour, that's 134 miles per hour, and has outpaced forecasts. Xinhua quoted Li Yuzhu, head of the Provincial Observatory, is saying. And the residents in the area where Kangnan is located had reinforced windows and doors against the storm and stockpiled drinking water and food. Gee, I wonder if they'll be abandoned to die while Hu Jintao flies over in an aircraft. Hope not. Hope they got better sense than that. Number to call if you have comments, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Turning now to Jar Jamal. Actually, I'll turn to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I love you, and I'm never abusive of you, and I will never be.
Well, thank you.
And I'm really furious at people that are. I won't be furious at them because that only leads to a cycle of anger. The reason I call, Teresa, is the typhoon fits in with so much of this. We live in a biofilm on a spheroid, right?
Yeah, and a pretty thin one by astronomical terms.
It's 20 miles thick. The highest point on Earth is 30,000 feet, and what's that, 6 miles?
Oh.
Must be 5, about 6 miles.
Don't ask me a math question. Panic.
That, and the deepest point, the Mariana Trench, is about 30,000 feet deep. So we live in this film, and we all need to understand that at a really basic level, not just for the weather, but how the world's away. We don't fly out into space and land over there. It's not a big flatter. This is the same thing that we all are living in, whether we're in the Middle East or in China, where this super typhoon, how frightening, has hit. I really do believe that we would gain a better perspective if we understood how thin this film of life is. And you know what I'm saying?
It's a good thing to remember, and it reminds me of other things. It reminds me that years ago, astronauts in the space station reported that they could see a film of soot near the poles from space. It reminds me of a lot of things. It reminds me of the fact that we are, in fact, altering the atmosphere. And
well, that's what I'm saying. It's so thin. It's so very thin. It's like from here to Eugene is about as thick as it's going to get, and it's all around the whole planet. And I haven't seen an Al Gore's film, and I've been told that I need to. But I don't know if our own fragility, our own personal fragility, would lead us all to a sense of community, a greater sense of community. I tell people, for instance, I gave up my car years ago.
Wonderful.
I owned it for 16 years. It became an extension of me. We do that with our cars. But for 16 years, I was this three-on-the-tree driver, clutch and the whole nine yards. But I gave that up, and I've become almost one with my bicycle since then.
Do you dream about your car?
And I talk to fellow bicyclists, and I think to myself, even if we all got out of our cars and got on our bikes, imagine the traffic horrors, maybe. But at the same time, each of us would be aware of our own fragility, and therefore the fragility of the other. And I think we would behave a little bit better if we didn't have the big box around us. And that's what I'm hoping the concept, I would have hoped that the concept of living in this film together, all 6,000 million of us, would give us a sense of personal fragility that would lead to our understanding of our greater fragility and need to help each other and all
and
that.
And these are things that we actually do need to be concerned about, as opposed to this idea that a foreign terrorist is going to, you know, and I keep using the same example, but a foreign terrorist is going to bust through the gates at TriMet and bomb a bus. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty bogus. And the terror comes from Washington and powers and authorities who may not be behind the terror of September the 11th, but certainly are behind the terror today, because that's, as I've said before, and I constantly say, this, September 11th was horrorism, and the terrorism comes from the people that have made hay out of it. Thank you, Teresa.
Exactly.
I love you. Your show is fabulous.
Well, thank you. Thanks for calling in. Well, that reminds me of other things as well. I mean, not only are we in deep, up to our necks in global warming, but we're under the sway of a usurper government, let's face it. And this government, which was not elected, and which has taken arrogated unprecedented power, intends to facilitate the building of 260 coal-fired plants in the United States to further destroy the atmosphere and to pump us full of mercury. That's something that needs immediate, strong action. Those plants cannot be built. We don't have to run on a fossil fuel economy. We have other options. Some of those options might require a little bit of change and a little bit of discomfort, but nothing compared to destroying the ecosystem, which is pretty much guaranteed with 260 coal-fired plants and the continuation of the oil economy. And so I have callers, the number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And once again, I remind you, listen to the phone, not to the radio, because of the delay tape. And hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Teresa.
Hi.
Yes, I was wondering if I could pick your brain about the recent Ned Lamont success. I was wondering how he was allowed to win, and I'm wondering if that plays into having Lieberman split off the vote later on, if that's just they're just setting us up by allowing him, you know, the votes to be counted accurately now, but then only later after the primary, you know, when the real race is on, they're gonna pull their usual bag of tricks. And also, I was wondering what your thoughts were on some of the new weapons I hear they've been testing over on the poor Lebanese.
You'll have to indulge me in some speculation, which I hope is informed speculation. I think that the primary had such a turnout that it was difficult to tweak. And I have no doubt, actually, we see in the press that Rove has offered help to Lieberman. And it's also patently obvious that Lieberman is a part of the Republican camp. It's not just the kiss. It's not just the fact that, you know, he smooched Bush in public, which is I think of as the Judas kiss. And I think it shows that with sufficient turnout and sufficient margin, the vote spoilage trick and the Diebold trick are a little harder to pull off. They're not impossible. Cynthia McKinney is complaining of massive, massive, massive vote fraud, and, you know, I'm inclined to believe her first, even though it is said that she lost by a considerable margin. You can get a considerable margin by leaving someone off the ballot, as she is saying happens in certain places.
Right.
You can get a considerable margin by changing the vacuum and registration on ESNS vote counting machines like we have here in Multnomah County. You can get considerable. You can get a total reversal just by changing software on the very open, very intentionally open Diebold and other electronic voting machines. So I'm not convinced yet that Cynthia McKinney lost the election. And what that means to me is that it's a vote fraud is moving further into a greater category where it doesn't even have to be close. Although I would say that certainly we have a better chance if we are vigilant, if we get international observers, if we get them trained by the NAACP, if we get them trained by Greg Palast, if we get them everywhere on the ground this next election, we watch like crazy and challenge everything and get excessive margins, then we have a chance of kicking out these fascist Republicans.
But it's only the exit poll that will give them away because, I mean, it doesn't matter how many people vote for X and then they say Y succeeded because they can just stick and knock off however many zeros they want, right?
Exit polls are accurate. And the U.S. has pointed to exit polls in challenging the Ukraine election, so they can have it both ways. And then in terms of the new weaponry, I hadn't heard anything that was new in Lebanon. Maybe you can tip me off. I know that they've been using depleted uranium bunker penetration bombs.
Yeah, I've heard about disfigured corpses, strangely burnt, disrupted tissues, that kind of thing, really nasty things.
Yes, there are casualties that would point to use of white phosphorus bombs.
Uh-huh, and also some kind of directed energy weapons were speculated, but that's just speculation. It's just horrible. It doesn't, you know.
I would say I'm convinced, actually, that there are directed energy weapons being used by U.S. experimentally in Iraq, and since the U.S. and Israeli militaries are so, you know, close in their cooperation, although, of course, there's undermining on both sides, would not be surprised to hear that there were directed energy weapons used. There's so many frequencies being experimented with right now, not just laser, but infrared, microwave. There's a list of things that will mess up a human body.
Yeah, well, it's very, very depressing, and it's very interesting how they picked the timeline of when the Israeli soldiers got captured versus 2 days before there was a shelling on the beach in Gaza.
Oh, yeah, that's just so
that's so
bogus. I mean, this has obviously been planned for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's so incredibly massively disproportionate that the pretext is ridiculous. It's not
totally
a response
ridiculous.
To that pretext at all, and furthermore, it is. Sorry to use the G word, but it's genocidal because they have cut the bridges, they have cut the power, they have cut the water, they have bombed the food supplies, they are trying to kill everyone. That's genocide.
I know. Mercy Corps can't even get in to give the supplies to
they're
people.
They're bombing the supply people. They're bombing people on motorcycles trying to get away.
And
it is absolutely vicious war of annihilation. And it, God, I mean, I love Jews, and this pains me. This pains me.
I love everybody in that region, and I think there's probably a lot of Jews, Israeli Jews, that are in similar agony about the actions of their country. They probably feel much the way we do about our imperial leader. And so I don't buy it that a massive amount of Jews are in favor of this. I can't really believe that, but maybe I'm misguided. Well, thanks for your time.
Thank you for calling in.
Take care.
I'm non sequitur reminded of something I meant to say at the initial red alert, and that is there is a common element if you look at what is not said in the news releases about the red alert and the bombing, the attempted or designed or desired bombing of aircraft, and that is the amount of liquid explosive that was confiscated. How much? Here's a not so trivial question for you. How much liquid explosive was confiscated? Did they confiscate 100 pounds of liquid explosive? Did they confiscate 1,000 pounds like used to come raining down on London and Amsterdam from V2s? Was it Amatol? Was the liquid explosive? Did they confiscate 5 pounds of liquid explosive? Did they confiscate, 2 ounces of liquid explosive? No, there's no liquid explosive. And how do I know that? They would have said how much, where it was being held, what its characteristics were. There would be lots and lots of talk of liquid explosive, if there were any, and there isn't, and this is a bogus terrorist alert, completely bogus. And hi, you're on the air, I think.
First, a word of appreciation. I just want to say I really like your sense of humor, that you, some of the things that you throw out and kind of compare to each other. And because humor is one of the things that keeps me going. But actually the question I have is, I have heard in a couple of the commercial breaks about something that happened in Puerto Rico with the FBI agents and the leader of the Puerto Rican Independence Movement, and that's the first I've heard of that. Do you know anything about that? Can you give
me in exactly the same box. Hurt in passing, remind me of Ojeda. I don't know a thing about it.
Yeah, because since you've been talking about terrorism, I think that that's a pretty good example of American terrorism.
It's just such a handy word, you know. Anything you oppose, anything you want to suppress, then becomes terrorism.
Yeah. Wasn't the Puerto Rican Independence Movement actually classified as a terrorist organization?
Yep.
Yeah, as I thought. Okay, well, I'll have to find out more about that later. Okay,
thanks
again.
Time is 9:24. You're listening to KBOO Press Watch. I'm Teresa Mitchell.
I'm Teresa Mitchell.
I talk about that sort of thing all the time, but not right now. 231-531-8187 is the number to call if you have comments on what's going on and what I've been talking about. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to comment about the Congressman Lieberman vote back east there.
Uh-huh.
He's a supporter of the Iraqi war.
Yep.
And he's, you know, seemed to have gotten voted out. And if I'd been voting back there, I just wanted to say that I don't want a future of being scared, and I won't vote for anyone who tells me it is the only future I am allowed. If I was voting back there, that's how I would have seen it.
Well, I like hearing that. And you know what? Americans used to have guts. You know, we didn't used to. I mean, when the British invaded U.S. territory, marched on Washington and burned the White House down. I'm stealing this from, now I can't remember his name. I'll think of who I'm stealing it from in a minute. James Madison did not recommend that any provision in the Constitution be suspended. And that's the way it should be, because we're supposed to have some guts. You know, we're supposed to, I mean, take the Fourth Amendment, for example. It's true that if you honor the Fourth Amendment and if you don't search people without cause, some people are going to slip through, and that's what we're supposed to have the guts to want, to desire, to have a society in which we do not have to be subject to unreasonable search and seizure. And we, you know, we're willing to pay the price for that. Always were. That's the way I grew up and understood that, you know, things were supposed to be. And now we have all these excuses because, you know, 3,000 people died 5 years ago. And as I was pointing out at the beginning of this program, we lose tens and hundreds of thousands to car crashes and to alcohol and to cigarettes, and we don't take anything like proportionate action on that. No, it's all just, it's hysteria and it's politics.
Well, here's the courage, and let's live our lives again. Thank you.
I like that. Courage. That's what Hurricane Dan used to say at the end of his newscast. Courage, he said, but it kind of pissed me off because he was such a conformist. Have another call. Our number, call 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Hi, you're on the air. I think you're on the air. We'll see if you're on the air. Just keep making sounds, and we'll twist a dial here or there. And hello? Hello? Okay, well, we're having problems with your call. Sorry about that, so we'll go on to the next one. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Let me check and see if the wires are punched in correctly the way that they should be. We're still working on that. So the idea that you can solve social and political problems militarily from the air is, on the face of it, ludicrous. The historical record is filled with the dead dreams of air power solutions to ground-based problems, but that stops no one. This is from Tom Graham. Just yesterday, for instance, as a part of the new American operation to somehow seize control of the situation in Civil War-wracked Baghdad, American forces launched an attack on Muqtada al-Sadr's Mahdi militia in the capital's heavily populated Shiite slum, Sadr City. As a Bloomberg News Service piece put, headlined on its piece, Iraq U.S. forces raid Sadr City to calm Baghdad. Aha, calm, it seems, was to be imposed not just by ground troops, but from the air by helicopter assault, even though the best accounts of the operation offer few details on just what those helicopters did. We do know that this calming raid managed to kill three people, including a woman and child, wound others, and destroy three homes. It also left the Iraqi prime minister a good deal less than calm. Simply firing into urban areas this way should be considered inconceivable rather than, as now, a problem-solving approach to the disaster that is Baghdad. And I think we have time for a couple of quick comments. So, hi, you're on the air for a little bit. It's one of those, hi, now you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, this is Pat, a member from the Dalles.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really good. It's so nice to hear you, Teresa.
Well, thanks.
Hey, you've been off the air down here for weeks, but you're back on in Hood River, and you're sounding really, really good.
Oh, yay, translator power.
Well, it was out for weeks, and I'm glad to hear you, and that's all I wanted to tell you. You're sounding good.
Okay, thanks for calling in. Thanks for the boost.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Okay, one person gets the last word. You have 30 seconds. We think 29 seconds, 28 seconds, 27 seconds, going once. Okay, now we think we're on there. Hello?
Hello, hey, Teresa. Hi. This is a good time to remember that the citizens of Empire generally don't profit from it. We get some cheap resources that are pilfered from other places, but we pay for it with our taxes to support the military, our blood to fight wars, and our loss of security because everybody hates us.
Right on, because when you've got a parasite class, they don't stop at what's going on overseas. Sooner or later, they turn to their own population and say, there's some tasty wealth and blood to be had there.
Yep.
And they'll take it. Okay, thanks for the comment.
Hey,
and
good day.
We'll have to wrap up with that. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO. Stay tuned because we have more of the incomparable Radio Zine. And don't forget, at 11, Democracy Now!